I like that song. I don't know about you, but there's things in life that kind of bind me up. Anybody got chains? Anybody got things that kind of you up, that hinder you, that pull you down, that weigh you down? Well, good morning, Center Point. Isn't it fun to come to church and start with pain? Yeah. We're in this series called what we're trying to address is healing choices. We're trying to think about our lives and the battles that we fight and the struggles that we have, and that God wants us to be healthy, all right? Not just spiritually healthy, because God, Jesus died not just to take us to heaven, but to give us life here on earth. John chapter 10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's why he came. And so it's not just about going to heaven. So we've been wrestling with, how do we deal with our mental challenges, that the brokenness? For a long time, I always talked about the world being broken and the world's out there. But the problem is, we're in here and we're still broken. Anybody on board with me there? We still have our battles. There's things in our life. There's broken relationships. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There's broken finances. There's depression. There's stress. There's anxiety. We can just go all down the list that we fight with this. And so what we did in this series is we've said, let's go into the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Let's go to his teaching and Sermon on the Mount and look at what he says about happiness. You know, he said, blessed are those, a few different translations, happy are those. And we're looking at these as happy choices. These are the choices we make. And so I've been excited about this morning's message, because there's one thing I really, and Jesus had it right, maybe that's why I believe it so strongly, is as your relationships go, so goes your life, okay? Whatever your relationship are, you can be as healthy as can be. You know, your blood pressure's right, your heartbeat's right, you're not sick, there's no flu, you're feeling well. But if you got a broken relationship, you're messed up. Am I right? You know, and so I really like Jesus said there's two things in life that really matter the most. Love God and love one another. And so we're going to kind of talk about those choices we make. But it's based on what we've been looking at. So I was debating, do I keep giving you every one of these choices? Because these are choices you have to make. And it's like, I'm going to keep putting it. So this list is going to keep growing. So we the first message of Jesus' first beatitude, and we call it the reality choice. Realize I'm not God. I admit I'm powerless to control my tendencies to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. Basically saying I'm broken. Anybody here willing to say I'm broken? You know that we're messed up, that none of us are perfect. You know, we begin with that. Then we said there's a hope choice. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to change me. Basically saying that God loves us. Anybody on board with that one? You know, I admit I have broken, I messed up. Thank you, God, that you love me. Broken and all. He loves me. And then we had a commitment choice. To consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours in my life and take control, right? Every day. Not just a one-time commitment, but a daily commitment that we need to make. And God, I'm going to do life your way. If you want to be happy, you need to do life God's way. Then we had the house cleaning thing. Since we are broken, well, we got to take that brokenness to God. I don't know about you, but I'll use that biblical word. You know, we like talking, well, we make mistakes. You know, I have some faults. The Bible calls it sin. Call it whatever you want. I'm going to call it sin, okay? You know, and we got to take that sin to God, and he takes that. If I confess my sins, he's a just and righteous God and forgive me of my sins. I take those sins to him, and he cleanses me, and he forgives me. We just go on, wash as white as snow, cast my sins into the sea of forgetfulness, cast my sins as far east as from the west. And we have that house cleaning choice. And when we do all these, all of a sudden things begin to change in our life, and we get to that transformational choice. And it was like this, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask him to remove my character defects. I still remember when I had this in one of the youth conferences we went to, and it's like this. Say yes before you ask God what? I like that. Say yes, God. Now what do you want me to do, God? Most of us, God, tell me what you want to do, and then I'll decide, right? Is that how most of us want to do it? Yeah. But what it says here is, okay, God, yes. Now what do you want me to do? And so these are the Beatitudes we've been going through, and today we get to these two right here. I'm going to pull two out this time. We got two Beatitudes to look out. First one is Matthew 5:7. Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them. Happy are those who work for peace. God will call them his children. And look, if you notice, most of those first five we looked at right there deal with our relationship with God, don't they? You know, and now God's came. Once you start getting that relationship with God right, all of a sudden you got to start working on that relationship with others. Right? You got to start getting along with others. You know, you get it right with God, then it makes it possible to get along with others. I'm going to tell you, if you're not right with God, you're never going to get along with everybody. All right? And so you got to get that one. And so that's what Jesus, he kind of outlined this for us. And so I want to talk about that happy choice today, is that relational choice. We need positive relationships in our life, do we not? We need people who encourage us, people who inspire us, people who lift us up, people who bless us. We need people in our life that do those things in our life. But the problem is, when you build those kind of relationships, you're going to find some relationships that are bad. Am I right? When you're reaching out, and how many of us could testify or say something about somebody that we reached out and built this relationship with them, and they hurt us. Anybody been hurt by a relationship? Anybody? Some of you guys have never been hurt in a relationship. Man, you guys are so blessed. Now, I'm just going to go. All of you have been hurt by somebody, right? I mean, let's be honest. You know, we all have something in our life. We all have burdens. We all have challenges. We all have struggles with others. You know, if I was to ask you right now to turn the thing over, but there's no place to really write anywhere. I got a blank later on to fill out. But start making a list of everything somebody did to you, everything somebody said to you. You could probably make a pretty good list. Am I right? Yeah. You could, you know, so-and-so called me buck teeth, right? That's mine, okay? How many of us could go all the way back to elementary school with something somebody said to us? High school. You know? How about even before that in your home, maybe a parent said something stupid. You're never going to amount to anybody been in those situations? Anybody know what I'm talking about here? You know? And we're reaching out for these relationships, and when you do, you're going to get hurt. You're going to have wounds. You're going to be bruised, and things are going to be said, and things are going to happen in those relationships, because we need those relationships, and sometimes they're broken. And so what do you do? What do you do when you've been hurt? Maybe you've been abused, physically or sexually abused, and you got those wounds, and you carry that baggage with you. Because I'm going to tell you, you start carrying those wounds so long, it starts, well, how about resentment? Anybody? Anybody have some resentment? How about some bitterness? You know, you start, you try to push that stuff down, and it still stirs up. And here's what I want you to know. You can't have anger with one person and not have it affect other persons. Now, some of you wives. Now, guys, I'm going to throw us under the bus, okay? Just understand, I'm throwing you under the bus right now. How many women could testify that the husband had a bad day at work and he takes that on his wife when he walks in the door? Don't raise your hand. But am I right? Come on, even the guys. Would the guys be willing to admit that? Come on. You know, see, you can't reserve a part of this, and we can't compartmentalize. Well, I'm going to compartmentalize this over here because it's bad, but all these are good. I'm just going to ignore that one. It's going to affect these others. And that's what this relationship choice is all about. Here's what it says. Evaluate my relationships. Offer forgiveness. Why don't you circle that word? Offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me. Now, I don't like this next part. And make amends for harm I've done to others. I was going to cross that one out, but because you know, sometimes it's my fault. Anybody on that one? You know, sometimes I've done this stupid stuff. Yeah. Have you ever had something come out of your mouth and you say, "I wish I wouldn't have said that"? Is it just me that does that? And make amends for harm I've done to others. Except when to do so would harm them or others. See, we reach out for this, and we want this. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is forgiveness. I don't care. It's going to be hard. I don't care what anybody's ever done to you. I don't care whatever has happened to you. I do care, all right? I want to say, I'm saying I don't, but I do care. But what you got to realize is you got to let it go. Because if you do not let it go, it will eat you. It will destroy you. We're reaching for positive relationship, and we reach out for that positive relationship, and we get our hand chopped off. And then we become quiet, still, we hide, and we're afraid to reach out again. Am I right? Come on now. and we're getting hurt. We got to reach out. And so we got to learn to forgive. And I don't know about you, but for me, forgiveness is hard. Some of you have been with me for a while. Now, some of you just getting to know me, I can be sarcastic, okay? Sorry. And I have this little saying that goes like this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but Gary gets even. All right? Now, don't do that. Somebody visited our church one time, and they heard me say that, and they said, well, I'm like that, so I'm okay, because the preacher's like, no, I'm being sarcastic. Don't do that. You know? Because here's my belief. I believe, you know, here's my thing. I treat people right. They treat me wrong. I'm going to treat them right, because I'm going to tell you what, God can sure get even better than I can. And I with my grandma would curse people. I don't ever curse anybody, but man, I could always from my grandma. All right? Let God take care of it. Let God take care of it. But how do we do this? How do we forgive? How do we move past this stuff in our life? And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some simple answers, but they're simple answers, but it's hard to do. Can I say it that way? You know, the principles are really simple, but you want me to do that? That's hard. So I'm going to begin with a story. It's Peter talking with Jesus. You can find a biography of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. It's one of the books in your Bible, and it's called the Gospel of Matthew, and it's a biography of Jesus, and it's where we got the parables and the Sermon on the Mount for, and it's kind of right here in your outline. We're going to look at it. It's rather long, so hang with me as I read it. But I want you to see this. Peter is having this conversation with Jesus, and he's dealing with relationships. At that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, Master, how many times do I forgive my brother or sister who hurts me? Seven? Jesus replied, seven? Hardly. Try 70 times seven. Get a black book, right? Get those Roman numerals. Dun, 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 you know. 490, you're through, buddy. Jesus replied, seven? Hardly. Try 70 times seven. The kingdom of God is like a king. Now he tells his story. Listen to this. Who decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got underway, when it was brought before him, who had run up a debt of $100,000. He couldn't pay up. So the king ordered the man, along with his wife, children, and goods, to be auctioned off at the slave market. The poor wretch threw himself at the king's feet and begged, give me a chance, and I'll pay it back. Touched by his plea, the king let him go off, erasing the debt. The servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. Seized him by the throat and demanded, pay up now. The poor wretch threw himself down and begged, give me a chance and I'll pay it all back. But he wouldn't do it. He had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. When the other servants saw what was going on, they were outraged and brought a detailed report to the king. The king summoned the man and said, you're evil servant. I forgave you your entire debt when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be to your fellow servant who asked for mercy? The king was furious and put the screws to the man until he paid back his entire debt. And that's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy. That sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? You know, and this is the foundation. What he's saying is, and here's what Peter says, how many times do I give somebody, you know? Seven times, you know, seven? Come on, seven? That's pretty good. You know, he's done me wrong seven times. You know, I don't know about you, get about three for me and it's about over, right? You know, you burn me three times and, you know, good luck. You know, and he's going, Peter's doing a pretty good job. And Jesus said, wait a minute. No, it's seven times 70. We need to learn to forgive based not on them, but based on my relationship with him. You see the picture Jesus painted here? This is what he's saying. It's not based on them. It's based on him. See, I thought about this story, I kind of put the picture. Let me paint the picture in today's terms. This is kind of what I thought about. You know, the guy gets up in the morning. You know, gets dressed, gets going down to work. He's heading off to work. He stops by Starbucks, picks up a coffee at Starbucks. One of the guys that he works with is there at Starbucks. Says, hey, man, the boss said something. He wanted to see you this morning. You know, so he says, all right, I'll run right up and see the boss. Out to Starbucks, walks into the door, pushes the button, goes up the elevator, goes into the boss's office up there, and the boss says, hey, man, good to see you. You know, I've been looking over these books here, and, you know, you took a lot of cash advances. You know, you took out this loan from the business here, and you know, and it's time to pay back. You know, it's time to make this right. You got to pay this back. You know, and the guy just goes, man, I can't do that. I don't have what it takes. I can't pay that. I couldn't pay that back if I were 100 years. I don't know why you guys loaned it to me. That's kind of what I see going on here. I mean, this is a debt this guy could not pay. He could never pay it off, even if he worked there 100 years. He says, I can't pay this off. I can't do anything. There's no way I can do it. The guy goes, all right, then don't worry about it. I'll just repo your car, foreclose on your house, and don't worry about a place to live. I'll put you in jail. They'll feed and clothe you over there. We'll take care of you over there until you pay me back. You know, the guy goes, man, and he throws him down. He starts begging, you know, forgive me, man. I can't do this. I can't handle this. You know, can you forgive me? And the guy forgives him. Right? He says, well, let me do it. I'll just write a check. The boss writes a check, staples a check to the bill, lays it on his desk. And the guy walks out. Whoa, man. Paid. I'm free. No more. Anybody like to be free from debt? Anybody besides me? Come on now. Am I the only one? You know? I'm excited. I'm getting close to paying my house off. Oh, yeah. You know, my car's paid off. Oh, yeah. Come on now. You know, this guy walks out, man, he's been free. And that's what Jesus says. Based on that freedom, he should forgive, right? I mean, come on. You know, you've had mercy, so you give mercy. And that's the picture Jesus is painting here. Now, I want to make sure you get the picture Jesus is really painting. Because here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, Peter, listen. You have a debt you could not pay. Peter, you're a broken man who's a sinner. Peter, you've hurt people, and you've hurt God. Peter, God created this big, beautiful world, and it's all messed up, and you're part of the problem, Peter. And you have a debt to pay, Peter. You need to pay this debt, Peter. And Peter's sitting there as Jesus tells this story, and he's going, I can't pay that debt. I don't care what I gave up. I don't care what I do. I don't care how good I am now. I don't care if I make all these changes. I don't care if I die serving God. I ain't going to be good enough to pay that debt. I can't pay that debt. And God says, I'll pay it. I'll pay it with my son's blood. I'll send my one and only son. We're going to celebrate Christmas because Jesus is coming. And he paid the price. And this is what Jesus is saying. Because of what God did for us, for you and for me, we should be forgiving of those who have hurt us and wounded us. Does that make sense? See, that's the picture he's painting. It's on his credit, not mine. You know? And I often think about this, you know, and this is something I don't know, maybe it's just my craziness. I didn't become a Christian until I was 17. I had some baggage. I'm going to tell you something. I value God's grace because I know I needed it. You know what I'm saying? I needed God's grace. Now, I often think, you know, my kids were raised in church. They were raised here. They grew up. They accepted Jesus Christ early. Do they really understand the price Jesus God paid? I'm not faulting that. I'm not saying that's bad. But I'm saying, you know, I can name things he forgave me of. You know what I mean? You know, do we understand what God paid for us? You know, let me ask you this. How many times do you slap God in the face with some words? Maybe not to God, but to somebody else. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many times have you abused God, but not God, but one of God's children? See, do we understand what God did for us? And that's what Jesus is saying. When you understand what God did for you, what God did for you, you can begin to forgive others for what they've done to you. Because it can't be half as bad as did to me. Does that make sense? Do you see the picture he's painting? So I wrote it this way in your outline. Because I have been forgiven, I can forgive. Because God has forgiven me, because God has taken my sins and threw them into the sea of forgetfulness. Because God has taken my sins as far as the east is from the west. I guess east and west is this way. You know? Because God has washed me as white as snow. Because he has created in me a clean heart. Because of what God has done in me, it gives me the opportunity to forgive others. And I want to show you, see the picture. It's an opportunity. There's another parable Jesus tells, and you might be familiar with it. It's the parable of the prodigal son. Anybody know the parable of the prodigal son? You know, the young man decides he's tired of living at home. Ain't got no money, so he needs his inheritance, right? I mean, you know, I have no money. I have no job. Mom and Dad's got it all. Dad, I can't wait for you to die. I want to go now, Dad. Give me my portion of my inheritance. Let me go. I don't care about your values. I don't care about what matters to you. I don't care about our family name. I want what's mine, and I want to go. You may be familiar with the story? Dad gives him the money. We don't know the attitude. We don't know the heartbreak that the father was having, but I can imagine the heartbreak of a father. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? And he lets his son go, knowing where it's going to end. He just knows what's going to happen. And you know the story. The guy, he goes out living on wine, women, and wild parties. Anybody, you know? It didn't take him long, you know? He comes out with all this money. He gets a lot of friends, right? You got money, you got friends. You know? He got all these friends. He's running around partying, running around having a great old time. Got buddies, got his posse with him, and he's just having a marvelous time with his inheritance. Well, it all's gone now. It's gone. I'm going to tell you, when the money ran out, guess what else ran out? The friends ran out, right? The friends ran out, the money's ran out, and now he has no place to stay, no place to go, so he goes living in a pigsty, all right? And now, not your house or my house, it sometimes can be a pigsty, but he's living in a literal pig, you know, where the pigs live. And with a Jewish boy living with the pigs, it's pretty low, right? Anybody know the story? The Jews couldn't eat pig. They didn't eat pork. So, I mean, he's at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, you know. It's kind of like the old story, you know. You write a review of this guy. He's hit bottom, and he's digging now. Anybody been in that one? Yeah. And so he's down. So he's in this pit, and he's wrestling with, what do I do? I mean, this is my life. And he just says, I'm going to go home. But I can't go home, son. I've wasted that. I've wasted that privilege. I've wasted that honor. I've wasted that opportunity. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to tell Dad, Dad, I'll be a servant. Just give me a warm bed to sleep in the servants' quarters. Give me warm food, a hot plate to eat every night. And Dad, I'll just serve you. Just give me a place that I can stay, Dad. That's all I'm asking. And I'll just serve and be a part of the family. Anybody familiar with that story? And he starts going home, and here's what it says, Matthew 6, 14 through 15. Yes, if you forgive others. Oh, crud, I'm in the wrong place. Luke 15, 20. I skipped down too far. He got up right away and went to his father. When he was still, now this is beautiful here. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. I can just see this father, knowing what's going to happen to his son, knowing that his son is on, sitting at the house, looking out that window, knowing someday he's going to come down that road. His heart just praying that his son come, praying his heart that his son will come down. Anybody know what I'm, you know, praying that son returns, praying that his son comes back. And he sees him, and he runs, and if you feel me with the story, takes him a coat, and he has a party for him, and he takes him back as his son. He didn't come back and said, you know, he didn't even get a chance, Dad, I'll be your servant. It's like, I'm your father. I love you. He didn't sit there and tell him, I knew what you were going to do. I knew it'd only be a short time before. Anybody ever hear that lecture? You know, my grandma used to call it, you know, again, tells you my age. My uncle's out sowing his wild oats. Anybody, some of you older people know what I'm talking about? That's what my grandma would talk about, my uncle. Oh, he's out sowing his wild oats. I can still remember that, you know. But he had been watching, desiring to see his son come back, wanting him to come back. And he forgave him. I told you. Why didn't you listen to me? You ruined our family's name. You can come, but you're going to have to live over here. It's just come back. Come back. And you see this picture. And I want to say, that's what God needs. That's the kind of forgiveness God is calling us to have. And that's what God wants us to have. And that's what he's given us. You know, when I sin, God doesn't say, well, now you can't be my son no more. I've never heard God tell me that. Gary, you blew it too much this week, you know. You got to go live in the doghouse this week, you know. You know, that place your wife sends you some. No, don't say that one. Don't say that. You know. But you got to, you know. No, God says, come back to the home. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what happens during the week. This is your home on Sunday. Okay, you hear me? You can fall down, stumble. You could be hurt. You could be wounded. Come. Because God sits here and says, he's open. Look at his cross. He's open like this. See, that's what God is saying to us. See, isn't that forgiveness? And what he's saying is that's the forgiveness you need to have. Because look, I paid the price you could not pay. I could not pay for my sins. I couldn't pay for all my mistakes. My errors, you know, I'll call them whatever you want. It's called sin. Let's be honest. God says, just come. Now he's saying, you know, when you're forgiven, you can forgive others. You can let others go. You can release those hurts. You can release those wounds. You can release that bitterness. You can let go of that resentment. And that's real. And I'm going to tell you, there's reasons to feel that way. You know, it's not fair. Anybody not fair? Anybody been in those where it's not fair? You know, anybody? It's not right. Are they going to get theirs? But with God's grace, he says, you can share that grace. Listen to what he told Jeremiah. Here's Israel. They're in prison in Babylon. And here's what Jeremiah wrote. The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. What kind of love does God have? Everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you. Circle that, drawn you. This is good stuff, guys. With loving kindness. God doesn't just call us. He draws us. He's pulling us close. I want to know, you know, we just looked at that prodigal son. The dad sat at home with his feet on his footstool waiting for his son to get to the front door. When he gets here, I'll talk to him. Right? When he knocks on the door, I'll open the door. No. Dad jumped up and ran to the front gate and maybe past that front gate out there. To get to his son. That's what God does for us. He's drawing us. So here's what the point is. Don't wait for somebody to apologize to forgive them. Okay? Do you hear me? Yeah. Well, when you see them afar off, forgive them. I told you, it's a simple plan, but it sure ain't easy. At least in my book, it's not. Because mine is, vengeance saith the Lord, but Gary gets even. All right? You know, I grew up with three brothers. I was looking at it this week as I was writing this message. I'm one of three brothers. I'm the oldest. In 23 months, my mom had three boys. Okay? 23 months, three boys. All right? I'm not going to tell you all the stories. All right? But I'm going to tell you, you could fight each other. I got stitches over this eye right here because I was hit with a tin shovel by my brother. All right? I broke my hand hitting my brother. And that was the best time to play football. Two-hand touch football with a broken hand. Whack! Oh, yeah! You can't say I didn't get you. There's a red mark. Yeah? We were against one, but I'm going to tell you, you fought one. Guess what? Fought us all. We'd kill each other, but we're going to fight for each other too. See, we need to see this. We need to understand God, what God has done for us. And hear what God has done and understand that. The Father didn't send her and say, no, you didn't, you can't, you shouldn't have. Why did you do that? You rent my name. You wasted half our inheritance. He didn't do all that. He just sent back, can we live? Even before they ask. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, some people that hurt you are glad they hurt you. Did you know that? That ain't right. But they, you know, if they found out today you're still mad at them and it still bothers you, they would be happy. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Are you letting them win? Why? Why let them have that over you? God can sure take care of somebody. Leave it in God. And so we got to learn to forgive. But the story told us something else. I mean, that story, we just looked at that servant, okay? He comes out that door, right? Now, I kind of had this picture. Boss signs that check, fills out a check, staples it to the bill, lays it on his desk. And the guy walks out going, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, man, I am free, debt free, party time tonight at my," right? It's lunch break. So he heads out the front door for lunch break. And as he's walking out the front door, he bumps into one of his coworkers there that owes him $10. He just had a $100,000 debt forgiven. He's got a $10 debt in front of him. He says, "I want my 10 bucks. I want my $10. He don't need it anymore. He had $100,000 debt gone. But I want my pound of flesh. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going to forgive you, but I got a pound of flesh coming first, right? I guess I'm bad. I want it. You can't pay it." He fell down. That servant fell down and begged, just as he begged. "Can you forgive me? I can't pay it right now. Give me a chance. Give me an opportunity. I don't have it on me. I don't have it." But then you're going to jail. He throws the dude in jail. He goes out and eats lunch. While he's out eating lunch, some of the other co-workers are upstairs talking to the boss. Say, "Hey, you know what's his name? You just left him signed off. He's out there and so-and-so in jail because he owed him $10. He said, "When you see him come back in after lunch, send him up." Comes back in after lunch. They say, "Hey, he wants to see you again." He goes, "Oh, must be some more good news for me. He's been good to me." Pushes the bell, goes upstairs. The guy goes, "Hey, I heard this story about you throwing so-and-so in jail. What's going on?" He goes, "Well, he owed me some money." He said, "Well, you owed me some money. Shouldn't you be as forgiving as I was to you, to him?" He goes, I don't think he had much to say. He says, "Oh, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. Here, I'll pay his debt. Here's $10. Oh, by the way, I just tore my check up. Yeah. Here's your bill. Oh, you can't pay it? Well, hey, give me the pink slip to that car. Let me have that note for your house. I'm going to auction that off. I'm going to sell your car, repo your car. You guys can go to jail, and we'll find some way for you to work the rest of that $100,000 off." Because what it says is this, if you're looking at your notes, the unforgiver becomes the unforgiven. If you don't forgive, guess what? You can't be forgiven. God's not messing around here. I can't make this sound any fancier, Long time I would go, "Well, God forgives you, but you're still a prisoner of your own." I'm going to tell you, plain simple, I'm not going to beat around the bush. If you don't forgive somebody, God's not going to forgive you, period. I wish I had better news for you. If you're holding bitterness and you're holding resentment and you got somebody on a list that you just say, "I ain't never going to forgive that guy, that girl, that boss, that neighbor, that spouse, that divorcee, that whatever. I'm never going to." Then you're going to stand before God unforgiven. Even believers. Isn't that scary? See, we need to forgive because we are forgiven. And it's not about them. It's all about us. Because I want to be right with God. And I want to be right with them. Now, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't mean everything goes back to normal. Because sometimes, I'm going to tell you, there's still abuse and all that kind of thing. You don't go, "Well, I got to trust them." No, you don't. Forgiveness comes. Trust builds. You hear me there? Does that make sense? You can forgive them. But it doesn't mean you have to trust them. Trust is something that you build over time. And so I'm not saying, "Well, you just goes like, no, nothing ever happened." No, something happened. But I let it go. And now we're going to work on building, our relationship from there. And we'll see where it goes. And we'll see how it goes. And that's the picture he's painting. But this isn't the only time that Jesus said this. This is the only time that we hear these words that you must forgive. You have to let it go. Here's what it says in Matthew 6. I was going to read that earlier. Let's read it now. "Yes, If you forgive others their sins, your Father in heaven will also forgive you your sins. But if you don't forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. Whoa! That's pretty serious, isn't it? How about the next one? Mark 11:25. When you are praying, if you are angry with somebody, forgive him so that your Father in heaven will also forgive your sins. You see that? How about Luke 6:37? Jesus said, don't judge others, and God won't judge you. Be hard on others, and God won't be hard on you. Forgive others, and God will forgive you. There will be no mercy. How about this next one? There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Like I said, the principle is simple. Forgive because you are forgiven. Pretty simple. But how hard is that? I mean, let's be honest. That's hard. You know, that's rough. Before I started going to church, like I said, I wasn't saved until I was 17, but we lived in a neighborhood, as most of us do. That's like a big deal. But one of the pastors, I knew of him. I'd never really been in his church. I was only dragged to church, but I knew this other pastor and his family from school. And one time, he had a car accident with a drunk driver, and it killed his son. All right. But this pastor was a chaplain for the police department. You know where that guy was? You know where that pastor was later that evening? He stayed with his family, ministered to his family. Then he went to jail and prayed with that man that just killed his son. I'm just going, ugh. Do that? Well, if I had a gun with me, I'd go in there and see. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let's be serious. I mean, you know, it's payback time, right? There's nothing more precious than a child. Anybody on board with what I'm saying there? You know, and I've always admired that pastor because of that. Because I'll be honest with you. You know, when my kids were little, I thought this. Because, you know, you worry about your kids. Drunk driver hurt my kids. I don't want to kill him. I want to paralyze him from the neck down. That way he's always, am I mean? You know, how do you wrestle with these things? Like I say, it's simple to say, forgive them. Now let's put it in real terms. It's hard. And that's why it has to go back to God. It has to go back to that walking with God. How do we deal with that bitterness? How do we deal with that resentment? I can't deal with it on my own. See, these are those principles, that reality choice. I'm broken, God. I'm a mess. I can't forgive, God. I can't let this go, God. It hurts, and I just can't deal with this, God. I want what's fair. See, here's my thing. I'm going to tell you this. This is for me. When I mess up, I want mercy and grace, all right? If I offend you, I'm going to ask mercy and grace. Please forgive me. I messed up, all right? I want mercy and grace. That you mess with me, I want justice, and I want it now. Am I bad? I mean, you know, this is not easy stuff. That's why it goes back to God. So how do we do this? Simple as it can be. I'm going to just give you two things right now. We're going to wrap it up with two quick things right here. Simple as can be. Here's a verse. What he says, Ephesians 4. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well of all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. All right? Get rid of it. So the two points I want to make real quick, take it to God. I have nothing else to tell you. You've been hurt, you've been wounded, you're broken, and somebody has offended and messed you up, and it's real. I'm not making light of it. I will never make light of that, because when it hurts, it's real, right? I don't care what it is. It's real, and it hurt. But you got to take it to God. I read a bunch of stuff this week on the internet. You know, you go, anybody like Googling on the internet? You Google on the internet, forgiveness. You know, how to build, you know. Give me all sorts of ideas. It says, look for the positive. Sounds good. Be empathetic with them. If you have to, confront them. You know, it had all sorts of little wisdom like that. I'm going to tell you, that sounds good. But really? My only solution when I'm angry, when I'm fed up, when I've had it, when I want to get even is, God, you got to do something now. Before the old Gary comes back. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? You did. I can't offer any. I cannot go up and try to look for the positive in them. Treat them nice. No, God, I have nothing for them right now. God, you need to do something in me to deal with this. And you got to lay it out for God and let God and let God work and look for opportunities. But so you got to do that. The second thing, again. Start right now. Start today. Now's the day to begin. If you got a messed up relationship, you got a brokenness, you got a hurt, you got a wound, you got a bitterness, I liked all those words up there. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander. I like those. Any of that going on in your life, take it to God right now. Does that sound okay? That's where forgiveness is. Because it can't be me. I don't have the strength. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the willpower. I'm back to that reality choice. I'm broken, God, and I need some help to let this go, to put this behind me. Now I'm going to tell you, sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes you need to go see a counselor, all right? Can you hear me on that one? You need to have a counselor. You need to have somebody you can let it out with and you can talk to. You know, and we've said this in our church, and when we went through this study here so far, you need a church family where you can be loved. You need a small group where you can share. You need that one person in your life that can tell you you're being a jerk and you need to let it go. And so as you can see, I got some blank lines there. I don't have words to put in there. You got words to put in there. Ha, ha, ha. Who do you need to forgive? Start right now. Start today. Who do you need to take to the Lord today? Now for me, I'm going to be honest. As I started writing the message, I don't have a problem. Because I try to keep this clear. I really do. I really work hard at this. Because I can't, as a pastor, I'm going to tell you, I've been told all sorts of, where's Daryl at? You know, you can talk to Daryl. Us as pastors get a lot of stuff. You know, Joyce could sit there and go, she knows as a pastor's wife, you know. Things are, I'm on a school board. Man, you know, you serve on some things. Right now, I'm in the midst of a really interesting conversation on Belarus right now. I'm having some fun with that. You know, I've been called all sorts of names by friends. I thought that guy, I'm sitting there at this table, and this guy's down there, and I have respect for this guy, and I know this guy, and he's calling me all sorts of names. And it's like, I thought better of you before. You know? But I don't hardly, you know, I see him, what's so funny is I see him at Del Taco the other day, and he acted like nothing ever happened. You know? I chalked it up, you know. I can tell you all sorts of stories. It's like, it's no big deal. Because it was a situation, and he had a heart, and he had a passion, and he was expressing it, and I didn't take it personal. You know? And so I tried to deal with that. But as I was writing this, just so you know, I was writing this, and I have prayed about these situations in the past, but two things in my head. Did you? I mean, it was amazing. You know, I'm sitting there Thursday typing, or Wednesday, and it's like, well, I really don't. Oh, crud. Remember in high school when this teacher embarrassed me in front of everybody in class? Said, no, that couldn't have happened. It couldn't have been that way. And it was in my notes. I knew it was in my notes. You know, but I couldn't prove it. I couldn't. But then I go off to seminary. I found the proof. Guess what I wanted to do? I want to go back to school. Hey, right there it is. I was right. You embarrassed me in front of the rest of the students. I still remember that. That's high school. That's just a few years ago. Okay, just so you know. All right. Yeah. But I remember, I don't know why that came to my mind, because it's like, God, I'm past that. At least I thought I was. I prayed about that one. You need to know that. While I'm writing the sermon, I'm praying. Yeah. Then another one popped up, you know, a guy, you know, you ever had your heart, you ever have your dreams crushed? Anybody have your dreams crushed? You have this vision, you have this dream, you're working towards this thing, and then somebody just comes in and just slams the door on it, and it's gone. And you sit on the side of a mountain crying. I've been there. Yeah. Years ago, 20 years later, an individual who had a key role in crushing my dream, his daughter calls and says, "Hey, so-and-so, da-da-da-da-da-da-da," and it's like, "Yeah? Well, my dad wants to talk to you." "Well, I don't want to talk to him." "No." "All right. He knows what he did. Why would I want to talk to you?" Yeah. I don't know why God brought those to my head. I don't know. What do you need to write? I don't know. I mean, I wrote this then. I was praying about it yesterday as I was writing. Is there any more I need to put down before I get up there? Because you know what? Before I get up here to tell you, I better make sure. So who do you need to put down right now? What broken relationship? This is yours. Take it with you. I'll tell you what you do. You take it with you. You take it home. You write that name. You pray to God. "God, I'm broken. I'm hurting. This individual, has hurt me." You don't need to tell him what it was, because I'm going to tell you what. God already knows what the person did to you. You know, you don't need to tell God what he did, she did. You just got to tell God, "God, I'm having a hard time letting this go. I need your grace, your mercy. I know you've forgiven me. Now help me forgive them." Pray that. And then destroy the paper so nobody else finds it. Can we do that? You know, as I wrapped up the message, I always close, if you've been looking at our outline, I always close with the same little verse at the bottom of the page. Remember that God wants to prosper you and do and to give you a good future, right? That's just kind of paraphrase of that verse. That's what I usually put. But I put this one down here because this is my prayer. And this is what I really felt like as I wrote the message Wednesday. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." That was me. "Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to the brokenhearted. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. I want you to have freedom today." That's my prayer. And so I wanted to close with that verse. And I want you to have freedom. No bitterness, no rage, no anger, no resentment, but a freedom. A freedom that gives you peace because God has forgiven you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you've forgiven us. Lord, we're not perfect. We still mess up. There's faults, there's failures. And yes, we can call them sin. But you've forgiven us. And now, Lord, you called us to forgive others. It sounds so simple, just take it to you. But it's so hard. It's so hard because it hurts so bad. The wound is so deep. It's so fresh on our mind. It sets there. But Lord, help us forgive. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are, many times I ask you to raise your hand and let me pray for you. But before I do that, I want you to pray. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I just want you to pray. I just want you to pray this prayer. Lord, thank you. Just you don't have to pray it out loud. Just tell God, "God, thank you for showing me mercy, for showing me grace, and for setting me free. Now, Lord," you put a name in there. "Now, Lord, they've hurt me, and it's real. And it still hurts. And I need to forgive. Lord, help me forgive this person. In your grace, in your mercy. For I can't do it on my own. I'm just a broken vessel. Help me forgive. Help me set them free And by setting them free, set me free. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace, for your mercy. In your name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. I don't know about you, but you know, I shared this message, but I want to always end with this. Maybe you've never crossed that invisible line. Maybe you've never experienced God's grace personally. I'm going to tell you, you're not a Christian by hanging around in a church. It's not going to make you a Christian. No. Being born in a Christian family does not make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is when you reach a point in your life and you said something along this line. Many of you know this. You've been here a while. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come in my life, take control. You've never prayed that prayer. I pray you pray that prayer right now. Just tell God that. Step across that invisible line and say, God, I'm yours. I'll pray with you if you need to. Just come on up during this invitation. That's what an invitation. I'm just here to pray with you. Maybe there's some battles going on. Maybe you just need somebody to pray about a wound or a hurt, a broken relationship. Maybe you want somebody to pray with you about that. I'm here to pray that. This is your opportunity. It's your invitation. You respond as God leads you. But don't go out of here without freedom, without a peace that comes from God's grace and mercy. It's yours. I'm going to ask you to stand and join the worship team as they sing. And then you come as the Spirit leads you. I'm here to share with you. I'm here to pray with you as we give God the glory this morning.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. When sin runs deep, your grace is more. Your grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, oh, I need you. And teach my song to rise in you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, oh, I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, oh, I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, oh, I need you.
Amen, amen. Let's go and be seated right where you're at. Again, I thank you for the privilege of sharing God's word. I do not take it for granted. I say it every week.